This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Red Sox fans, here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Game 5 ALCS postgame show. Red Sox lose their second straight game to the Houston Astros. They are now headed back to Houston with a 3-2 deficit, one more loss, and they're out. However, they do have probably the more favorable pitching matchup. So, Jason Kelly, Andrew Dwan with me tonight. I'm just going to warn you guys, I'm kind of touch and go. I've had a terrible cough, slight case of COVID. That's why I've missed a couple of episodes. Basically, my cough has been really my only symptom, so I'm very fortunate that that's all I've had, but it's not conducive to recording very much, so gonna give it a shot tonight, and worst case, Jason and Andrew will tag team the rest of it if I can't go on. So how are you guys?
It was better last time we talked.
I was gonna say last time Andrew went on, it was all sunshine and puppies. So yeah, we were feeling pretty good.
You were right. Les Diaz put an end to that one pretty quick.
Yeah, that wasn't. He definitely hurt us a bunch of times. Andrew and I were tentatively gonna record last night, but everything started to fall apart. What, the eighth inning? Was that the Altuve home run to tie it? Something like that. Seventh or eighth inning, and it just obviously unraveled for a multitude of reasons, and I just said to hell with it. We're not going to record that, but we figured we'd come on tonight just because, you know, it's been a few days. But Andrew, are you in panic mode or no?
No, I mean, if we didn't have Eovaldi going next game, maybe I'd definitely be more worried if it was Erod. I feel confident about taking game six. I think the Astros have thrown their two best punches right now, back-to-back days. I still think they've overused a lot of their pitchers, though Framber definitely helped them out today. I have confidence in this team to pull this off on Friday, and then, you know, game sevens are just, you throw it to the wind. No one knows what's going to happen.
Jason.
I don't know if I'm fully in panic mode. I'm not like hammering the panic button per se, but I don't feel good now. I don't feel good. When they were up 2-1, I thought, okay, good. That's where you want to be. I was worried about Chris Sale starting today. Turns out that wasn't necessarily the issue, but I said, you better go back to Houston with a 3-1 lead, or at least a 3-2 lead rather. You know, once they tied the series last night, I thought, okay, you're in must-win situations now because they've got the home field advantage. And I don't know, like, in terms of how much does that matter, it might matter a little bit there. I don't feel good about going back to Houston down 3-2. I just, even with Eovaldi on the mound on Friday, like, okay, sure. But, you know, let's say you win Friday, you're tied for a game seven. You feel confident about Erod pitching a game seven against whoever they're going to throw out? I don't know. So I'm not hitting the panic button, but I'm not confident either. I'm kind of in between there. I'm kind of sitting on the fence expecting to get pushed over in the worst way possible.
This is the first time in the Alex Cora era that he's lost more than one game in a series. That never happened in 2018. We only lost one in each of the series, and also, I mean, our backs are against the wall. It was painful in yesterday's game four, we had a one-run lead basically from the second inning on, and this isn't a team that's going to hold that for seven innings. Like, our pitching's been okay, but that's a lot to ask to hold that one-run lead. And, yeah, there were some shenanigans with the umpire. We did blow some opportunities. You know, we were stranding base runners and not getting the hits that we were getting in the two games prior. So if we end up getting sunk in game six or seven, I'm going to look back to game four and be like, well, that's where we really blew it. So I just feel like we expect Eovaldi to pitch well, but this is a lineup that can just pull the rug out from under you, and he could put up a four spot in a random inning. And so, so this offense, though, is cooled down. Kike Hernandez not hitting well. I think Hunter Renfroe needs to be benched, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I never thought I'd utter these words, but maybe for at least one game you put Schwarber in left, you put Bobby D at first base and see if the kid can create some spark. I'd shake it up a little bit at this point.
I don't hate the idea. Tony Maserati mentioned it today.
Oh, did he?
You know, on the radio, he said, look, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to just put Verdugo in right, put Schwarber in left, put Bobby Dalbec at first, because Hunter Renfroe has been pretty much complete zero for you in this series. And it's tough because he's been so good all year long. But, you know, when's the last time he hit a home run? I mean, I'm not even sure. It's got to be mid-September, I think, because even towards the end of the regular season, he had started to cool off a little bit. And look, this is a guy that he had a career year with the Red Sox. And everyone said, wow, Hunter Renfroe, like, what a steal at $3 million. Like, no one expected this. No one saw this coming. It's fair to ask, like, did he run out of steam? And I don't think he's the only guy that might be running out of steam here. But at least on the offensive side, you know, maybe Hunter Renfroe just is trying to do too much up there because he knows that the expectations are high now. And he's pressing a little too much. And I think a hitter like him, who he's not a complete hitter, he's not a JD Martinez, he's not a Rafael Devers. When he presses too much, he might get exposed and he tries to do too much and he strikes out, you know, on bad pitches or what have you. So it's an idea. It's tough too, because it puts Cora in an impossible position, because if he plays Hunter Renfroe, which he should do, and Hunter Renfroe goes 0-for-4 and the Red Sox get knocked out, everyone goes, oh, Cora, you idiot. Bobby Dalbec was sitting there on the bench and you didn't play him. But if Cora plays Bobby Dalbec and sends Hunter Renfroe and they lose, then everyone goes, oh, you shouldn't have benched Renfroe. He was one of your best players all year. So it's an impossible position for the manager. I don't think he's going to bench Hunter Renfroe. I think he's going to stick with the lineup and he's going to hope that these guys get it together. I also think that he trusts Renfroe as a veteran more than Bobby Dalbec as a, you know, basically a rookie in this type of position. But it's an interesting idea because this offense is anemic right now, and they need a jumpstart any way you can get it.
Well, we do have our answer to that already, because Cora did say in his post game today that he's sticking with the exact same lineup. So, yeah, Hunter's going to be there. He's going to be in right field. And there was a good quote that came out from JD after as well. He said he pulled Hunter aside after the game. So we actually talked after the game a bit, just sharing my ideas of what I see with him. I don't see him down at all. He's still going up there, puts tough at bats. You saw Altuve go 0-for-12, then he hits a home run, a big one. So he still has the backing of his teammates, and maybe that gets him out of his, you know, little squander. I don't know. It's a bad time for him to go cold. I mentioned it last app. This is really not ideal for him. He did smoke a ball the other day that Bregman made a great play on that would have led to a couple more runs early on, but he – Yeah, I honestly don't remember the last home run he hit either. I I don't think it was in the National Series. I don't think it was in the Orioles Series. It might have been before that. So those were your last two series of the season. Luckily, he does have experience in the playoffs. Maybe he'll be able to pull it out. I don't know. I'm not 100% optimistic on that one. But I don't want Schwarber in left field. There's just something about that. I just can see that burning them in a big way, where he just misplays a ball, throws it to the wrong base, and that's what does them in.
Well, another scenario is you DH Schwarber, perhaps put JD out there, provided that his ankle's okay. I'm not sure that it is, but he does seem to look fine going around the bases as of late. I'm not a pessimistic guy on Renfroe long term, like next year. I mean, he might not be quite as good as this year because it's a tough, you know, year to duplicate. But right now, he grounded into two double plays today, and it was looking like we might rally in one of those middle innings. Valdez put the first two runners on, and Dusty Baker had to go out and just have a little pep talk with him, and then Hunter Renfroe comes up right after, and like I said, grounds into a double play. So I'd like to see a little bit of magic from Cora, but he's just a guy that's Renfroe's just been really cool. Xander had a two-run home run in game four, put us ahead by a run. That was, basically our the only runs we scored. So hopefully he finds it, because he's another guy in the middle of the lineup just not hitting well. So with today's game, I was really negative on Chris Sale. Like, if you told me it was going to be, 7-1, 8-1 by the end of it, I would have been like, yep, that's about right with Chris Sale starting. But even though that was the approximate score, he pitched pretty well for five innings and then got tagged for, I think, two more runs. Alvarez, I forget his first name there, big DH, basically scored all three runs off of him. But still, I mean, compared to what we've seen, I mean, five innings and change and three runs is something you would have taken with him and just kind of hoped your hot offense could offset that. So it was encouraging to see him have a decent outing.
Yeah, and he was hitting, 98.5, I think, on the gun at one point?
Something like that.
I don't even know if we saw that pre-TJ. I was disappointed they brought him out for the sixth. I really loved the five. I wanted Tanner Houck in there. I think I said that last game I wanted Tanner Houck in there. I thought that was the game plan, quite frankly. I thought if go with Sale as long as you possibly can, which was five, and then bring Tanner in and see if he can bridge the gap for like three innings. And they didn't do it. And I don't think we've heard an explanation why, which was kind of agitating to me.
Jason?
Yeah, I think they're scared to crap of Tanner Houck. I think Cora has maybe lost a little bit of trust in him, which shouldn't be the case, because, again, if this was the plan, if this was the roster and this was the plan going in, then I think you have to sort of stick with that plan. I know that Tanner Houck has had some iffy performances here, but like, you've got to stick with him. If this is going to be the guy, if he's the bridge between your starter and the end of your bullpen, because let's face it, the Red Sox have to know their middle part of their bullpen blows. It's not good. Brazier, Sawamura, Robles, like, these guys have all turned back into pumpkins. Like, you can't rely on them pulling magic out of their ass like they were in September and August. So I agree with Andrew. I'm a little surprised that Houck wasn't put in after Sale came out. What I saw out of Sale was very encouraging. I will fully admit I was fully prepared to come in tonight and mock Alex Cora for saying after the trade deadline that, well, I don't care that we didn't add a starter. We have a skidding lefty coming back. We'll be okay. And because I thought that Sale was going to kind of get his brain beat in tonight. I wasn't expecting a lot, but he pitched great. And unfortunately, he gave up the bomb to Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez, by the way, might be one of the bigger problems in this series that Red Sox fans aren't recognizing yet. Everyone talks about Altuve and Correa. That guy is a legitimate, real left-handed power threat on the Houston Astros. But Sale pitched really well. I just wish that the plan after that was better, because you brought in Ryan Brasher, which I've never been a Brasher guy. I think he's always just been a jag out of that bullpen. He's proved it time and time again that he can't handle big spots, proved it again tonight, and then it just all fell apart from there. So I don't know what Cora is saving Tanner Houck for, or if he's just scared of him, but either way, I agree. I wanted to see him in this game.
Big Poppy in the post game was talking about Yordan Alvarez's swing, and he said he reminds him a lot of himself, only that Alvarez has a prettier swing. So gave him a lot of credit there. As far as the bullpen goes, it's hard not to have trust issues. I don't feel too nervous when Garrett Whitlock comes in, but he is prone to the long ball, and we've seen it, unfortunately. So it'd be nice to see him kind of keep the ball on the ground a little bit more, and hopefully that's something they try to work on over the winter. But I, too, think the Astros would have thumped Tanner Houck. There's just not a lot I'm comfortable with that bullpen. And I'm not a Salamora guy. I've been saying that the whole second half. In game one, Cora brought him in a relatively close game, and I didn't like that. Today, it was lopsided, and he was doing mop-up duty. That's where I'd rather see him. Robles, I'm not too negative on. And, Jason, I think you make a good point. Like, Brasher seems fine in the regular season, but put him in a big spot, it just doesn't he seems to have trouble with that. So, I mean, what's the plan with the Eovaldi game? I think that one's going to be the toughest to map out. And in game seven, you'll have Erod, who I'm fairly confident will be able to pitch at least three or four innings effectively. It'll remain to be seen whether or not they make adjustments on him and hit him around a little bit. But you'll have Nick Pivetta that second game, who could probably go three or four. And I think the roadmap through game seven is a little bit easier than game six. So how do we see game six going after Eovaldi presumably goes five or six?
Well, I think he has to go six. I don't think there's an option. I think he has to throw six innings on Friday. And then you're looking at, again, I'm going to throw Houck's name out there. I think he has to pitch. And then probably Ottavino and then Whitlock. And that's, you know, if the Red Sox have the lead, that's probably their three strongest guys that you can bring out of the bullpen that you have literally any level of trust with. You can't bring in Robles. You can't bring in Sawman in these games. This is a must win. You got to go with your dogs, and those are the ones that are going to come out and do the job theoretically for you. So if he only goes five, then maybe Houck can pull off two to get you back on schedule. But those are the only four guys I want to see: Nate, then Tanner, then Ottavino, and then Whitlock. And then we get to game seven and we figure it out.
Yeah. At this point, that's what it has to be. And this is the point that you're in. You're down 3-2. Your backs are against the wall. Nathan Eovaldi has to pitch, like, quite frankly, the ace that he's been all year. And so that there's a lot of people who say, well, Nathan Eovaldi's an ace. Well, he pitched like one through the regular season, and they're going to need him to go at least six. At least six. If Nathan Eovaldi is out by the, you know, fifth inning, if he doesn't get through the fifth inning, and you're having to bring in Tanner Houck, you're in trouble. That's not where you want to be. And also, I mean, we'll get to this part too. The offense has to wake the F up. I mean, the offense has to come out and show that they want this game seven, because they've just looked completely pathetic the last 2 days. But you need Eovaldi to go at least six. And then I agree with Andrew. Like, anyone not named Ottavino, Houck, or Whitlock, I really don't want to see. If Hansel Robles is coming into this game and it's close, that's a problem. That's not good. That's not what you want. you kind of have an A squad and a B squad in your bullpen, which is not ideal. I get it, but this is what you're stuck with. So you kind of want the A squad for this game because, again, just get it to game seven. Get it to game seven, figure it out from there. Maybe Eduardo Rodriguez pulls out of his ass, you know, and gives you the performance of a lifetime there. But for game six, you need Eovaldi to go at least innings, hopefully seven. Like, honestly, the Red Sox are looking for what the Astros got out of Francis tonight. Just keep on going, you know, just have a really efficient, dominant outing. And then we'll put in our best relievers at the end, and the offense gives you enough support, and game seven.
Speaking of Valdez, a lot was going around Twitter that he kept wiping his pitching hand above his left eye, and it was always when he received a new ball. And Joe Castiglione pointed this out repeatedly on the WEI broadcast. And I was looking for some evidence of a substance above his eye. Nothing was obvious. It's possible there could have been some Vaseline, maybe. I don't know. Someone in the war room said maybe he had Sprite, you know, on his face. I don't know. But he kept going to it, and he didn't last two innings in his earlier start in the series. And then tonight, he put on one of the best postseason performances we've seen in quite some time. You know, he pitched basically eight nearly shutout innings. So just a coincidence or possibly a little bit of tomfoolery?
So I'm not going to buy into any cheating theories or anything like that. I was lucky enough to be in the car when that was all going on, when Will Fleming was like losing his mind, sound like he was going to explode about, you know, and it was like every second it's like, oh, there he goes again. Oh, there he goes again. Oh, did you see it, Sean? Did you see it, Joe? Oh, touch his forehead again. Oh, there it is. It's like, okay, but Framber Valdez touching his forehead or whatever doesn't account for the Astros scoring nine runs on you. So who cares that he was touching his forehead? They scored nine runs on you. Like, is he going to give up 11 if he's not touching his forehead and you win? Like, and yeah, he didn't do well in his last playoff performance against the Red Sox, but this guy kicked your ass in the regular season. Framber Valdez, every time he faced the Red Sox, was punching out 8-10 guys a game, was going seven innings deep. He owned you. So, and this was post-Spider Tech revelations, whatever you want to label that time period in the season, but like he was doing this well before tonight. So look, this is where Red Sox fans get a little bit annoying. This is where you people turn into Patriots fans a little bit, because the game before it was Laz Diaz. Oh, we lost because of Laz Diaz. Okay. Because it's Laz Diaz's fault that you gave up seven runs in the ninth, right? So now what? Tonight is going to be Framber Valdez was cheating, and that's why we lost 9-1. No, look, did he maybe have a substance on there? I don't know. I assume they're checking these guys, and Alex Cora has already said he's not going to question it. He's not going to get the umpires together and say, go check that guy, because he knows. He knows his history. Alex Cora is a cheater. Like, let's just call what it is. He's already been busted. He's already been suspended for a year for cheating. So he's already said he's not going to do it. Now, you might argue, and the guys on WEI were like almost like screaming down to Cora from their booth to, you know, go check it anyway. Screw that. Screw your integrity. Just go out there and check it anyway. But would it have made a difference? I don't think so. I don't know what Valdez was using, if he was using anything. My guess is it's, you know, very inconsequential. And it didn't have really much to do with the Red Sox getting dominated tonight. I'm not going to sit here and go, well, you lost two games because of an umpire and a pitcher cheating. I know some Red Sox fans will, and that's fine. Let them do it. But as far as tonight, I didn't see anything all that much that was alarming.
Yeah, I'm going to make this one quick. I think we can all agree that these games have looked absolutely great in 4K, right? Have you seen a good picture of Valdez with anything on him? Because I haven't. I've been on Twitter. I've looked everywhere. I can't find a damn thing. So, yeah, I didn't see anything. I watched every pitch of that game. I mean, I think he's just good. I thought that going into the series. I thought that going into the season. I thought he was a very good pitcher who's a ground ball pitcher, and that's what he was inducing all day long. I mean, I wish they got busted for cheating, but I don't think he was. And for anyone that thinks he was, I mean, literally, we have Twitter, and anytime there's something like controversial going on, you can zoom in and there's evidence and people will be nitpicking, but there's not a single gif of him going through his eye or like a still shot of something glistening in a light. I don't know. I don't buy it.
I'm a little bit more skeptical than you guys, I guess. I can't prove anything, I'll concede that immediately, but it was just weird that it was always when he received a new ball. I can't get past that. And the game's over. We lost. The circumstances are what they are. And we'll probably, because he pitched so many frames today, I doubt we'll even see him game seven. I could be wrong, but Dusty Baker, like Andrew points out, sometimes tends to be a savage with how he utilizes his pitching staff. So I really don't have much else to add. I think we've covered a lot of it. Any final thoughts?
I would just say I think a lot of fans are going to focus on the bullpen and the pitching. Don't leave out the offense. These guys, the last two games, have fallen asleep. And I think fans get distracted by Rafael Devers hitting a solo home run. And, he's going in the shopping cart again. Yay. Xander Bogaerts, doing a little bit. But there's a lot of guys that have fallen asleep on offense. Verdugo, Kike, Christian Vasquez, even Schwarber. Schwarber had the grand slam the other day, but he's sitting under 200 for the series. He's been quiet. So, look, if you want this team to get back in it, yes, Evaldi has to pitch well on Friday. Yes, the bullpen has to not completely crap their pants. But the offense has got to wake up, because you're not going to beat a team like the Astros if you don't score runs. So, for me, I'm focusing more on the offense on Friday. I want runs. I want runs early, and I want them looking engaged and, just putting pressure on Houston to start instead of trying to play catch up.
Yeah, I'm going based off the assumption that Nate does what he's done all season long. So my number is 4. That is the floor of runs you'll need to put up if you want a chance to win that game. You got to put up at least 4 and let Nate and the rest of the 18 pitching, relief pitching, I say that with no confidence, do the rest of the job. But yeah, you got to come out, you got to put one on the board early, you got to have a couple shutdown innings, push a couple more across, and then, if you open it up more than that, good. But 4 is the minimum amount of runs you can score.
Honestly, I mean, I feel like it has to be 6 to 8 to really be somewhat safe. And one other thing I meant to point out is the Astros are so good at adjusting in game. And, their first time through the order, they got a plan A. The second time through, they have a plan B. Third time through, a plan C. With the Red Sox, the first time through, it's plan A. Second time through, it's plan A. Third time through, it's plan A. Like, they don't adjust. There's no backup plan. And you can go back to those two high scoring games. All the damage got done in the second and third innings, roughly. So plan A worked, and we didn't need the plan B or C. So they have to put up a number of runs, and hopefully not just early, but later in the game to kind of keep the Astros at bay. So we need offense. We need Kike to get back on it. We need Xander to start getting more productive. Hopefully Renfro, like we said earlier. And we'll take what we can get from Schwarber as well. So tomorrow is a travel day. So no show tomorrow. And then, let's see, Friday night, game six, we'll probably come on and do a little bit of post game. So we will see you then. And everybody have a good rest of your work week. Take care.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water